guys, no, she's only Hannah Montana when she's wearing the wig. Oh shit, we're live. Hey guys, welcome to the We are here with Table Bunny, Ross Watson, Jacob Blackman, and we're going to talk about Funhouse. Bunny, or we can call him Bill, if that feels weird, his new setting for Prowlers and Paragon on Kickstarter now. Let me say the URL, top of the show, so we don't forget it, tinyurl.com/funhouserpg. We'll take you right to his campaign. And we have an urgent need for you, gentle viewers, gentle listeners. Right now, Mr. Keys, the evil bunny, he is sitting at $666. His podcast has the number of the beast.
It's unholy.
It's unholy. Someone's got to jump in and save him, guys.
So. Someone has to save the evil bunny before the satanic panic rains down upon
I am
him
proud to
from
say
the
I
1980s.
Time traveling evangelicals. That's a great movie. Anyway, hey,
yeah.
Bill, tell us about this setting. I'm going to share some art while you give us the elevator pitch for this bad boy.
Okay, yeah, sure. So Funhouse takes place in a world in which superhumans exist, but people are terrified of them. And so over the course of a generation or so, basically superheroes got redlined so that they all have to stay in a particular neighborhood in town. And the neighborhood is called Funhouse for because it used to be the home of a carnival there. And now, thinking that this would be a really good idea, it turned out to be a really terrible idea because businesses closed, shops closed, and it ended up becoming a place of just grinding poverty and super crime. So you're, as a player, you would be trying to save this neighborhood, trying to help people escape from poverty, escape from crime, and possibly even, depending on how big the Game Master wants to go, possibly even figuring it out, and not just crime, but super crime, possibly even figuring out a way to get rid of the laws that force all the superheroes to live in this neighborhood. It takes a lot of inspiration from movies like Code 8, which is on Netflix. It stars, what's that guy's name?
Amell.
Yeah. Amell. Stephen Amell.
And Robbie Amell.
And Robbie Amell. And again, just superheroes forced to live in poverty. Also, shows like Freaks that has Emile Hirsch in it, which is superheroes are illegal and they're hunted down. And of course, classic things like X-Men, the whole mutant menace concept, martial law, and what else? Top 10, Alan Moore's Top 10. So I've taken inspiration from a whole lot of different places.
Top 10 was an amazing book. So I'm scrolling to the art that you sent me, and beautiful art. We should probably name drop your artist real fast.
John Ridley. John Ridley? I recognize him anywhere.
Yeah, John Ridley. He's a great artist. He works fast, and he does excellent work.
Kind of like
I'm also getting some good District 9 vibes off of this.
Yeah, that's actually, I hadn't thought of that, but definitely, for sure.
So I've got, of all the art you sent me just now, this is the one piece that isn't a beautiful full-color character. This looks like a map of the neighborhood? Is that what
this
is?
Yeah, it's a map of the district. Mark Helwig made the map for me.
Okay.
And I think he did a great job. It looks really cool. Each of those different landmarks pointed out is a major plot point or a major landmark in Funhouse.
Okay. I'm guessing Precinct X is where you have the super cops that police in the super neighborhood?
Yep.
Okay.
Precinct X is
House.
Cops. There's a lot of the places I named after sort of Iron Age artists or writers.
Like
so
Miller.
There's that. Sinkovich, Sinkovich Technical College, and trying
Mr.
to think
Miller's.
Of what else. Yeah, Mr. Miller's, Moore Manor, named after Alan Moore, Anglo Opera House after Bill Anglo. So
what's this guy over here that says Carl's? Is that a is that like a Dave and Buster's or
Carl's
Bowling Alley? Or?
That is Carl's Funhouse. It used to be a amusement park. It shut down at about the same time that people started moving into Funhouse. That's where the district gets its name, and it has been abandoned for 30 years. And of course, an abandoned funhouse means all kinds of cool mysteries and things for the players to deal with and solve.
Just like in Scooby-Doo. I'm digging it. all right, so this is for the great Prowlers and Paragons system.
Correct.
And this is not your first work for PNP, right?
This is, no, not at all. I also created Blood and Justice, which is an Iron Age setting, which is sort of in a slightly serial numbers filed off New Orleans, a city called Nocturne, in which everything bad that ever happened in New Orleans happened in Nocturne, except it was 10 times worse. So it's a dark, gritty, dangerous city.
It's a fantastic setting. You guys can find it on drive-thru right now.
Yes.
Sweet. Well, hey, this sounds like a lot of fun. I know I've been talking a lot. Jacob and or Ross, would you guys like to weigh in?
Mostly, I'm intrigued about a bunch of these characters. You have a bevy of colorful characters here.
Mm-hmm. Would you say he has a plethora?
I would, in fact, say he has a plethora of colorful characters. But
I would definitely not use that word, because that means too many.
No.
No, I'm sure it means too many.
I think there's exactly enough.
The mafioso T-Rex, I'm guessing?
Yes, yes. That's Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller used to be a minor supervillain. He was essentially just a leg breaker. And then once everybody got sent to Funhouse, he decided that he wanted to be more than that, so he became sort of a gang boss, a mafia boss. And now he's pretty much runs all of the underground, both literally and figuratively, because his headquarters is in an old abandoned subway station. That's Mr.
His vision's based on movement, so if you stay still, he can't see you.
If you stay still, he won't see you.
Right. So what's his voice sound like? Does he have a Mike Tyson, you know, incongruously high squeaky voice, or is he more of a Clancy Brown type? How would you cast him in the cartoon?
I hadn't thought of that. That's an excellent idea. It would be hilarious if he did have that high voice, that Michael Tyson voice.
Does he eat chicken, or does that seem too much like cannibalism?
He would eat literally anything. He is a humanoid T-Rex. So, yeah. Any kind of meat that you put in front of him, he'd eat. And he has been known to eat his foes. So, yeah.
Well, he's got to go.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. But he's also, as any good mafia boss would do, he also helps kind of take care of his town. You know, he funds preschools and parks and... you know, make sure that the small shop owners, as long as they pay his VIG, they're protected from any kind of harm. So
it's more of an Avon Barksdale from The Wire. Takes care of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Did they make a reference no one got? I'm sorry.
Oh, I got that.
No, I didn't. Right. I haven't watched The Wire, but I know the exact type of character you're talking about.
All right, cool. All right, he's kind of like a reptilian kingpin. That is pretty cool. Is he the big bad of the setting? Is he pulling the strings on all kinds of evil, nefarious plots? Or
is he He is pretty much the biggest bad. Although, should this take off, and you know, if people want to see more, then there's going to be a lot more bad guys.
Okay, cool.
What is it with you, Bill, and B-themed superheroes?
Yeah, what themed superheroes?
B-themed.
Oh, B-themed superheroes. That's Honeybee. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a cool. It's a good look, you know.
As a child of the '80s, I approve of the leg warmers for lots of reasons.
Right? Yeah.
That's black Honeybee. And gold is a good color combination for anything. So
yeah, it really is.
Having a B theme is really easy to fit that in.
Yeah.
She's particularly hard on any heroes who are allergic.
Yeah, Ross knows. Ross and I played in the campaign, Modern Gods, with Sean Patrick Fannin, and I had a character named Rumblebee, and she had a bee sting power that, if you were allergic to bee stings, then you hated her. Honeybee is one of the heroes of Funhouse. She's a good guy. She is a teenager. Actually, the main superhero group is called the Troubleshooters, and they are basically, they all just graduated from high school, and they said, well, what are we going to do with our lives? You know, there's not really, we can't really leave and go to college or anything, so what are we going to do? So they decided to go into business together. They formed something similar to a private investigator business, where they just go and help people. They do whatever needs to be done. If it's getting a cat out of a tree, especially if the cat is like a fire-breathing dragon cat, or, you know, defusing a domestic violence situation, you know, especially if the people in the situation can blow up an entire building by themselves, you call in the Troubleshooters.
Is there any connection between Funhouse and Nocturne?
No, I don't really have any connection written about it in the book, although if you wanted to, you could easily import any of the villains from Nocturne by Night into Funhouse pretty easily. They most of them would fit.
So it's not an expansion of your current setting. It's an entirely new thing.
It's a whole new thing. That's right.
Okay. What do you have any adventure support going on in this? Because you got a nice setting here. You got great characters. Do you have some adventures to introduce the players?
Yeah, absolutely. There is one thing that I love to do when I'm writing is I throw adventure seeds throughout the book. So not only do all of the characters, bad guys and good guys, have adventure seeds attached to them, but a lot of the places, you know, Anglo Opera House, Sienkiewicz Technical College, all of those places have adventure seeds attached to them. In addition to that, there's also a full-length adventure, which is called, what did I call it? I gotta pull it up here. It's called The Clown. So, you know it's going to be fun. Because clowns are fun.
Or horrifying.
That's cool. So this, correct me if I, this kind of reminds me of, there was a Top Cow book back in the 90s called Common Grounds. And the concept was there was a coffee shop where superpowered people went, and villains, heroes, it was common ground. It was neutral. They could just go. And the book was mainly, you know, them finding common ground. It was a dialogue-heavy book. Do we have a similar vibe here where the heroes and villains, no matter how they felt in the past, now they all live in the same, you know, 12-block area, so they have to get along? Or there's still the old rivalries and antagonisms?
There's still a lot of old antagonisms. Okay. In a lot of ways, Funhouse is a place where it's always on the verge of boiling over, because there's so much poverty and so much crime and so much desperation that people are really just a finger's length away from violence at any given time. And a lot of people don't have powers that are particularly useful in a fight. Doesn't matter if you can, you know, I can create helium balloons out of thin air or something like that. You're still redlined into Funhouse. But a lot of people do have dangerous powers. And when those people get upset with each other, of course, things are going to explode.
Okay. So it's a lot more of a simmering pot than that kind of friendly situation. That's cool. Who is the power?
Someone might call it a bubblegum crisis of sort.
Yes. It's like a giant bubble that's about to pop.
So who is the lady here in the pink armor?
That is Pink Power.
Okay.
Great name. She is also one of the good guys. She's one of the troubleshooters. She is very much a super genius who decided to build herself a suit of powered armor so that she could go with her friends into dangerous situations.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it really did some amazing art for you here. This is, all this stuff just looks fun. It really pops.
Yeah.
So if someone's in a suit of power armor, can they leave the district?
There are some people who have powers that are subtle enough that they might not be noticed outside, but I mean, she is she doesn't have the ability to catch on fire or, you know, pick up buildings or anything like that, but she is still a super genius, so they still consider her a threat.
How do they keep them in the funhouse?
You know, that was a question that a lot of people asked me when I first started writing it, and essentially the idea is that at the beginning of the situation, when superheroes first started getting pushed into this area, everybody thought it was a great idea. The superheroes, the superpowered people thought it was a great idea. They're like, well, yes, you're right. We did just accidentally blow up, you know, the airport last week. So maybe if we were all in one place, we could kind of contain the damage. The other thing is that, you know, sometimes when the authorities tell you that you need to do something, people just sort of frequently will just do it. They'll just say, yeah, okay, it's the law now, so we'll do it. And then after a while, it just became habit almost, like
normal.
Nobody really wants to get out. Now, in the movie Code 8, they have these robotic cops that are extremely deadly. So that's something else that can happen in Funhouse, that if things get too dangerous, if things get too loud, then they will send in the riot patrol.
Okay. I'm guessing that Dr. Zayas here is not from the riot patrol.
That is Officer Harry. Mm-hmm. He is a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. He is one of the few good cops in Funhouse. He, of course, is from Funhouse. He has superpowers. He's a Yeti, mm-hmm. or a Sasquatch. So he knows the neighborhood. He loves the neighborhood. He lives here. He knows all the people. He very much takes community policing to be a very serious thing for him. But he's just one man, so there's only so much he can do.
Does he have a power that makes it very difficult to photograph him?
He has a power that he can just sort of vanish. So you'll see him, and then you'll be like, where'd he go? He was here a second ago. So, yeah.
Okay, and I'm guessing she's also in Troubleshooters?
Which one are you looking at? Sorry, I'm
on a different channel. Jennifer Lawrence?
Hmm?
Sort of a superpower Taylor Swift type.
Blonde hair levitating over a black spot.
Ah, yeah, that is Sparrow. She is actually one of the gang leaders. She is. She's not exactly a bad guy, but she's not exactly a good guy. She's a member of a gang that calls themselves, hang on.
The Swifties.
The Rooftop Avengers.
Okay.
Everybody in her gang has the ability to fly. And her thing is that she never, ever, ever touches the ground. She hates the idea of walking or touching the ground ever. They are one of the nicer gangs. They're not really violent. They mostly just stick to themselves. But Sparrow.
Okay. Is this kind of in the young hero genre? Because the main good guys are recent high school graduates, and she looks pretty young. Is it? Do we kind of have that sort of Buffy vibe about it?
It's not quite high school hero, but it is definitely young adult hero, for sure.
So True Blue, what is her story?
True Blue, she's the leader of the Troubleshooters. She's the one who founded them. She actually inherited some money from her uncle, who was a supervillain, who actually made himself a fortune. And when he passed away, he left her his money. So she said, well, I've got this money. What do we do with it? So they bought a building. They founded a business. And essentially, they don't really make money by helping people because nobody in the district has much money. So she just sort of keeps them funded by pulling money out of her trust fund. Okay. Her powers are she's your standard flight, invulnerability, super strength, super speed type.
Nice. So she's your flying brick Supergirl type. All right, cool.
But you're bringing up the fact of younger heroes is I can easily see being a point in this game how all the older generation heroes have pretty much just accepted, you know, this is how it is, this is the way it is. And meanwhile, the younger generation of heroes is going, no, there's a whole world out there. We're not going to live with their boots on our necks. We have power.
That's right.
We actually want to use our power.
Yeah. And some people want to use their power to help the world, and some people want to use their power to break the world. So, yeah, that is definitely a theme that goes through all of Funhouse. And I'm glad you brought that up, Jacob.
It's something that's pretty much happening today. So it's very culturally relevant.
It really is. Relevant. Yeah.
So I'm guessing all the heroes are available as pre-gen PCs for people who want to pick it up and just start playing right away.
Yep. The troubleshooters are the pre-generated gang in the back of the book. They are all built on 100 points, so they're all pretty much Prowlers and Paragons legal. The villains, of course, are built on their own points. Some of them are very powerful, and some of them are not quite as powerful.
But they're villains, so they're highly illegal.
That's right. The villains are illegal. but the heroes, yes, you could just pick. You could literally play this, half an hour after you pick it up. Awesome. You could just run you could grab those characters and run the adventure in the back of the book, and you had yourself a good time.
Is it POD or just PDF?
It's going to be both.
Cool. So when are you delivering? Because let's assume you're going to fund probably the next day or so at this point.
So the last day of the project is May 17th. And depending on how well we do, there might be some... if people want to back at the $100 level, then you get to create your own character, either a hero or a villain for the book. But I will probably release the PDF, at least the first generation, the first version of the PDF, within a couple days of when the money clears for the Kickstarter.
Cool. If I may, Bill is one of the best game masters I've ever gamed with. And one of the pledge levels lets you get into a game with this man where he can run his own setting with his character. So it's going to be amazing. So anybody who's even thinking about backing at that level, I definitely think you should.
Yeah. Now I'm going to put a caveat on that I'm not currently not able to travel very far. So if you are in Colorado or the southern part of Wyoming, then definitely, or if you can get to a convention here, Genghis Khan, Tacticon, any of those, I will run for you. I will do a personalized adventure just for you and up to five of your closest friends.
It's online otherwise, right?
Yeah, we could do it online otherwise. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for frequent viewers of the BAMP podcast, you might remember Bill actually ran a session of Cocaine Owlbear.
Yes.
You can find that recorded on the internet.
That was a good time. I really enjoyed that. So you just reduced the price of one of your tiers. If I read your post correctly, and let me know if I didn't, someone can actually get their own character into Funhouse pretty cheaply right now, right?
Yep. Originally it was $250, but I decided, maybe I was asking a little bit too much, so I dropped it down to $100. You can get your own character, create either, like I said, a hero, a villain, or something in between. We'll have it illustrated and everything for you. John Ridley will illustrate it, and you'll have your own character in the book.
It's a steal at that price.
It is. It is. That is a darn good price.
Having done a few of these tiers myself in the past, I want to mention to our viewers that I am sure there is an editorial control clause, so you can't just make Batman.
Yes. Yeah, and of course, you can't make anything triple X rated or anything like that. Also, it is not that kind of game.
Nothing. If you want to make Sexcalibur and he's got a magic sword that looks just like
the answer is no.
But lots of other cool things you can do. And Liza, we got great art. Bill's a great writer. It's going to be a fun setting. I see you went with a shorter duration on your Kickstarter. This is just 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, just over 2 weeks. Okay. Everything that I know about Kickstarters, most of the action comes in the first 3 days or the last 3 days. So having a big, long 30-day or 35-day middle just doesn't really help much. And this is just what I'm getting from people who've done a lot of them.
You're missing out on the key, one of the key experiences of running Kickstarter, which is the nail-biting anxiety. 35 days in the middle.
Oh no, I assure you, there's nail biting anxiety already. It's only going to be 15 days worth instead of 30 days worth.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I know I like to keep these short, fast, and fun. Any last words? Anything else we want to make sure we mention about Funhouse before we wrap things up?
The only other thing that I wanted to mention is that assuming that Funhouse is successful, I'm going to be running another Kickstarter. I'm going to be going back to Blood and Justice, and I'm going to be creating a second villains book for it. It'll be called Shadows of Nocturne. Jacob is doing some of the art for me. Just delivered a few pieces in the last couple of days, and they look gorgeous. As always,
thank you.
Jacob always turns in good work. But it's going to be another book of about 65 new villains, a bunch of new villain teams, minions, and a new map of Nocturne as well.
Well, I'd like to say a couple of things. First of all, I'm a stretch goal on this Kickstarter if we get far enough up. So if you want to see an adventure written by me or Funhouse, get in there and get one of those $100 levels, because that'll probably get there. The second thing I want to say is Bill is an extremely talented writer when it comes to creating superhero characters. In fact, he created some for me for a future Kickstarter called Enemies Unleashed. And if anything in this book is like what he wrote for me, it's going to be well worth your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Ross.
Oh, cool. Jacob, any last minute questions or thoughts?
Well, speaking of other projects, we are in the last few hours of the Kickstarter here at the BAM Podcast and Video Games for Small Superheroes, a guide to super pets. It is a book that is a PDF we've had for Mutants Masterminds that's all about making animal-based characters for your Mutants Masterminds campaign. And we are currently running a project to get that made into a print-on-demand product. So we're on the last day of that project. So if you hear this within the next sometime in the next 24 hours, you may still be able to get in on the super cheap Kickstarter price to get your a print on demand. Otherwise, it's going to be the regular price when the campaign ends.
Yeah, it's like $2 or $3 right now to get the PDF. So it's super cheap and only 19 hours left actually. So it's this is the first time we've mentioned this on the Kickstarter. We did no promotion for this at all. But yeah, anyway, it's a fun book. Jacob wrote it. We got some fun art. You can see it there. So if you hear this in the next, you hear this before, you know, Friday, jump on. So
it's a fun book. I did some of the layout for it, and it looks great.
We've got the Bill laid out the Savage. Bill wrote the Savage Worlds conversion, which is. We'll probably be crowdfunding here in the very near future once this one wraps up and delivers. So,
Our viewers are getting a look at just how incestuous this whole industry really is. Because Bill does layout for Mike, I write for Bill's project, Jacob's done art for me, Mike writes stuff for Jacob, and there's even more connections.
This is what small printing. third-party companies do. We collaborate with each other all the time. Exactly. Besides that, the only thing I have to say is Saturday is Free Comic Book Day, so get out there and support your local comic book shop. And from what I've seen, there's some really good stuff that's going to be available for Free Comic Book Day. I know that Skybound is releasing a couple of Transformers and G.I. Joe comics from their Energon universe for Free Comic Book Day. And if you haven't read those have been amazing. Just flat out.
I've got one worry about Skybound's Transformer comics. They're doing this new, it's basically Shrek, but Transformers, right? Transformers 1. You saw the trailer. It's where Optimus Prime and Megatron or, not Transformers yet. They're back on Cybertron, and it's a buddy comedy. It feels
that's a completely different thing.
Okay, but here's the thing. Skybound's going to be at screenings in the first week, passing out their comics. Hmm. And if you've read Skybound Transformers comics, they're not really for kids.
No, no, they're not.
There's a lot of stuff like...
shooting Bumblebee in the face in issue one.
Yes, what? Exactly. Wow. Or the Decepticons realize that they have to cannibalize one of their buddies in order to survive on Earth, so they rip him apart so they can get... Yeah, anyway. Wow. Anyway, right now, go to tinyurl.com/funhouse-rpg. Back Bill's book. You got 2 weeks left to do it. It looks like a big jiggling, pulsating mound of fun. You don't want to miss this, folks. It'll be a good time. And anything else? I'll let you have the last word, Bill.
I appreciate your support, and I really, really hope you like it when it comes out. Thanks, y'all.
All right, folks. So on that happy note, we will sign off, and we'll see you next time on the BAMF Podcast.
Bye.